Good evening.
And may the fourth be with you. If you don't know what that means, don't feel bad. That only means that you are not a nerd. And if you are offended that I just called you a nerd, you, like me, simply need to own up to the fact that maybe there is a little bit of nerddom going on. This is a reference to the fact that today is known as Star Wars Day. And I don't know what this says about my friends, but many of my friends online, on Facebook and Twitter, this is practically all they have been talking about, is that today is Star Wars Day. And I think it probably has something to do with the fact of the excitement that's coming for the new Star Wars movies that are going to be coming out here in a year or two. But without a doubt, Star Wars was my favorite movie growing up as a kid. The Power Ranger movie almost took the spot, but without a doubt, my favorite movie growing up was Star Wars. We had in our neighborhood Jedi costumes. We had lightsabers that we would play with. We had a Jedi training school where Kyle and I would train one of our neighbors how to be a young Jedi. I don't think he ever quite got there, but that's probably more our fault than anything else. But this love of Star Wars began with me with this VHS set of the original Star Wars movies, the original episodes 4, 5, and 6. And that story is an epic story about Luke Skywalker on his journey from a nobody in the backwoods of this evil empire to becoming the last Jedi and defeating the evil empire, defeating Darth Vader. But when I was a kid, they came out with the prequels, the three movies that happened before the old ones. And all of a sudden, the story shifted, because the story was no longer about Luke Skywalker, the return of the Jedi, but the story became about Anakin Skywalker, the man who would become Darth Vader. And I heard George Lucas, who's the creator of the Star Wars, the whole universe, say that from the very beginning, Star Wars was always about the redemption of Darth Vader and the redemption of Anakin Skywalker. And this word, redemption, is a powerful word, isn't it? It's one that we use sometimes, even in our everyday lives, where we talk about redemption. And it is a strong biblical word with these incredible nuances to it throughout Scripture. It's this idea of salvation and rescue and renewal and restoration and deliverance and freedom. And in many ways, redemption becomes the driving force of the entire story of the Bible. And in many ways, redemption becomes the driving force of our lives. The Bible, from beginning to end, is the story about a cosmic redemption. The story begins in Genesis 1 when God creates the universe, when He creates the cosmos, when He creates the earth and everything on it. And the story tells us that it was very good. And God creates humankind to be His image bearers, to reign as God's co-reigner over creation, to rule well over what God has made. But then humans decide to rebel. They decide they would be a better ultimate king than God. And so they give in to temptation. They eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the world is then fractured. It's no longer the way God had designed it to be. That death becomes a reality in this world that God has made in a way that it had not known before. And so God chooses Abraham. He chooses Abraham to be the means by which God would bless the world, the means by which God would bring the world back to Him. But Israel, Abraham's descendants, can't come through on their promise. They can't come through on their side of the bargain. And so God sends Jesus. God sends His Son, to do what Israel could not do, to be what Israel could not be, and to be and to do what we cannot do ourselves. And that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God begins to redeem the world. He makes, as we talked about this morning, new life and new creation possible. Excuse me. And as we talked this morning, the story of redemption in Scripture is a story that we get wrapped up into, that we are invited to be a part of. But we see in places like Romans 8 that this story of redemption is so much bigger than even ourselves, but it's something that's offered us. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to use the story of Star Wars as a parable, or maybe as a parallel of the stories of our own redemption. And so the story begins in episode 1 with young Anakin Skywalker as this little good-hearted boy who happens to be the chosen one. He is the character that is going to drive the rest of the story, and it begins with him, full of potential, full of innocence, full of this pure heart as the chosen one. In Ephesians chapter 1, 4 and 5, Paul says that even as God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The story of our redemption begins with our identity as God's chosen people. Our redemption begins with God choosing us. It doesn't begin with us choosing God, but the movement comes from God, that God has set his heart on you before you were even born. When I was getting ready to propose to Amanda, I had to buy her a ring, because that's what we do. And so I'd been saving up for a couple years. I realized early on that I wanted to marry Amanda, and so I was saving practically since we started dating. And as the time got closer, when things were going to work out, when I could finally propose to her, I had to choose a ring. I had to choose the right one. And so I had spent a couple years researching, as subtly as I knew how, to figure out what kind of engagement ring Amanda would want, what would suit her style, what she had always wanted as a girl. And it was difficult because she didn't seem to care a whole lot. She just wanted to get married, which was awesome. But I still wanted to choose the right one. Even if she didn't know what the right one was, I wanted to choose the right one. And so when the time came and I asked her dad if I could marry her and he said yes, I went looking for a ring. I was in Columbus at the time, and so I bounced around to 3 or 4 or 5 different jewelry stores in Columbus trying to find the right ring. And I came home and went to literally every jewelry store in St. Clairsville trying to find the right ring, deciding which one was it. And I ended up back at the first place I started and chose a ring that I hope Amanda likes, and I think she does. But this dilemma of which one do I choose, which one is the right one, is not a dilemma that God knows anything about. Because God has set his heart on you from the foundations of the world. You have been chosen by the Creator God before the world was ever made, that you are God's chosen. This is an act of grace. It is a gift from God, a gift that is open to all of us. God has set his heart and his affection on us, and so we are his chosen. Second movement in the story of Star Wars is in episode 2, when young Anakin Skywalker begins to grow and develop. His talents begin to come to the surface, and he gets good at what he does. And along with his growing body and his growing strength and his growing talent and ability, his ego begins to grow. And he develops this streak of self-reliance where he trusts his instinct and he trusts his talent. He trusts himself. It's an arrogance and a self-dependency that begins to develop. That happens in many of our lives as well. We're warned in Scripture in Romans chapter 12 by Paul, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And in 1 Corinthians 4, he says, "What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" Self-reliance in many ways is what makes us great as a nation. It's one of our core values. But self-reliance very quickly can turn to arrogance and self-sufficiency, where we think we can do it all on our own, that we don't need any help, that if we have a problem, we can fix the problem ourselves. And while trusting what God has given us is a good thing, this sort of self-reliance, this arrogant self-reliance, can easily lead us into temptation. And it can easily allow us to fall into temptation. When we try to handle situations on our own because we think we have the strength and the grit and the ability to do it, it leads to our fall. What's the proverb say? That pride goeth before a fall. This is something I'm particularly aware of in preaching. That it would be easy for me, or not super easy, but I could rely on my own eloquence and my own wit to preach sermons that you would really, really like. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm being faithful to the text, being faithful to the God who authored the text. And so I can't rely on myself. I have to pursue God passionately through prayer, because self-reliance will always lead to a fall. And we see that in the story of Star Wars. That in episode 3, in the climax of that prequel trilogy, Anakin eventually falls. He becomes Darth Vader, the character that is one of the most evil characters in all of cinematic history. He is lured by the dark side and this temptation for power. In this temptation to hold on to what he cannot hold on to, in this temptation to grab a hold of power, he falls. He gives in to the temptation. He gives in to evil. And he rationalizes it by saying it's for the person that he loves. But in the end, it's a fall. And he comes crashing hard. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12, he tells a parable. He says, "If someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?' And he said to them, 'Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.' And he told them this parable, saying, 'The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I'll do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store up my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. When we try to hold on to power, when we try to hold on to our possessions, when we try to hold on to our life, it eventually pulls us away from God. I want you to imagine holding in your hand a piece of Jell-O. And once you get over the slimy ickiness of it, I want you to imagine trying to squeeze that Jell-O in your hand. What's going to happen? Jell-O is going to begin to seep through your clenched fist. Just like that Jell-O, when we try to desperately cling to our life, it slips away. The next movement of the story is the story of Darth Vader, this evil character, the most evil in all of cinematic history. And in a way, Darth Vader becomes less than fully human. Jesus sums it up like this: "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Ephesians says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Colossians says that we are dead in the uncircumcision of our heart. When we live unrepentant lives, that sin begins to take over our lives. It becomes like a cancer that eats at us. And as we keep shutting God out of our lives and out of our hearts, God will one day listen. And we will fully give in to the fallen state that we have created for ourselves. That when we allow sin to invade our lives, sin begins to push out everything that's good within us. But the next movement is a movement of redemption. That at the end of this six-movie series, there is the climactic moment where Darth Vader, this evil character, is faced with a situation where the bad guy emperor is trying to kill his son. And there is a moment of decision where Darth Vader has to decide between the evil emperor and decide between his son. And so Darth Vader steps in and takes the full force of the emperor's attempt at his son's life upon himself. And when he does, he loses his very life. But in that act, he is redeemed. He is saved. He is no longer Darth Vader. He is no longer evil, but he becomes the person he was at the very beginning. The redemption for this evil character comes when he is willing to lay down his life. And the same is true for us, that our redemption comes from self-sacrificial love. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says it like this: "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses or forfeits his soul?" That we find our life and we find our redemption when we lose our life in Christ. To receive life from God, we have to lay down our lives. And we find life in Jesus when we live lives of self-sacrificial love. We are redeemed through this act of self-sacrificial love. As powerful as that story of Star Wars is, it's missing something. And what it's missing is the most important part of our redemption. And that is the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus stands as the powerful moment where our redemption in God becomes possible. Because it requires an act outside of us. We don't have it within ourselves to redeem ourselves, but the movement comes from God. We need God to do something for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, passage we read this morning, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." And then in chapter 5, verse 21, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God." In order for us to be redeemed, we live lives of self-sacrificial love, following Jesus. But we need Jesus for our redemption. We need Jesus to become on the cross what we can't be for ourselves. Fully obedient to the law of God. And so on the cross, Jesus takes the punishment that's ours so that we get the righteousness that's his. And it's in that we have redemption. that we have salvation, that we have rescue and renewal and restoration and deliverance and freedom. This is the story of our lives as Christians. This is the story of the world. And if you are here tonight, then this is not your story. If you don't have that redemption, all you have to do is admit that you need it, that you are broken and you need to be redeemed, and determined to change, to lay down your life so that you can receive life from God, and then be baptized, buried in water, dying to yourself so that you can rise to new life again and walk from here as a renewed person, a redeemed person in Jesus. Tonight, if that's where you are, we would invite you to respond. Tonight, if you're here and you're struggling with something and you want us to pray with you, maybe it has something to do with this redemption, maybe it's something else entirely, but we would love to pray with you tonight. So if you need to respond, would you come as we stand and worship?